I mean, there's so many ways you can go with this, Dylan, when you look at possibility of, what, 10 teams, maybe? They won't all 10 have a new quarterback, but, hey, there's a lot of shuffling going on. All right, guys, welcome back to the Falcons Pass Podcast from the Right Clutch Points. I'm your host, Clay Cover, with me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, back here, Dylan, to talk about everything that's going on in the NFL. And we now know the two teams that will play in Super Bowl 58, coming off of the two very interesting championship games. The Chiefs take care of business against the Ravens. The 49ers complete the comeback against the Lions. We're also going to talk a little QB carousel predictions for maybe next season. We'll do that at the end. But Dylan, the Chiefs and the 49ers, it was about time that one of us got there in terms of picking our actual Super Bowl right, getting the two teams right. I don't know that we've ever done that, but yours truly, after lots of failures, managed to get a Super Bowl right, I guess, for once. But before we get into that, let's talk about the two teams that lost, because certainly two interesting games, like I said. Plenty to take away from both, but I guess what stood out to you the most for both the Ravens and Lions, who came up short?
Even though very different games, very different teams, I'd say like the obvious theme for both is a missed opportunity, right? Like for Detroit, as Dan Campbell talked about after the game, yes, maybe there's an expectation they could be back. There's plenty of teams in NFL history that have felt like we'll be back soon. We're right on the cusp and it does not happen. A lot of Philip Rivers Charger teams have been pointed out kind of in a similar vein. So it's, and the same for the Ravens. I mean, I don't think the Ravens are going anywhere. They have a ton of depth. They do have a lot of free agents that are going to hit the market, especially on defense. But you have Lamar, you're going to be in a good spot. But at the same time, you feel like this was the chance, or one of the chances, to get past Mahomes, and for what that defense did in the second half. I mean, that was the takeaway for me. It was just how much the defense of the Chiefs really impressed, because, man, the Ravens D put on the clamps. I think the Chiefs had like four or five first down. I mean, like, they really weren't moving the ball much on their possessions in the second half, a number of three and outs. And the Ravens couldn't take advantage on the other side, and that's a credit to the Chiefs making key plays at key times. But for Baltimore, it's like, we have this historically great defense, or not historically great, but one of the better defenses in the league, and a season from Lamar, and it was historically great in terms of their combination of defense and offensive of performance. Like I was saying, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, they had some numbers that are up there with the 72 Dolphins, some of the 85 Bears, in terms of just the separation of points and yards and everything. The game plan for Baltimore was, on offense in particular, was pretty, it left a lot to be desired. The more that people are looking at the tape, it does sound like maybe there is some blame to be given to Todd Monken. I know you had some reservations about him early in the season, and it seemed to bite at the worst time. But I think Mike McDonald, there's nothing to take away from what he did for that Ravens defense. We'll see if he gets one of these head coaching jobs. But I just felt that the common thread between them, even though they're so different, missed opportunities. Obviously, the Ravens game, they were playing from behind, and the Lions blew a big lead. But both teams had to feel like they had it right there. And it's no guarantee you're going to get back to this spot quickly. And that kind of urgency is the reason why, I mean, especially for the Niners, the relief that team had, because, you know, if they had lost, the questions are going to be facing them and some of the guys getting older, and the situation with, you know, obviously they still have Purdy's contract for a little while. It's going to help make paying other players easier. But it's just the complete separation of like little margins that can make such a big difference. And for Detroit, I know there's a lot of things said about about some of the play calling, and not even the play calling, but more of the fourth down decisions. I personally didn't have a huge problem with most of them. It's especially when you think about the success rate they've had with those fourth and shorts, how many yards per attempt they were getting all game. I mean, you have a drop pass on one, really great play call from San Francisco on another fourth down. You know, no one's really questioning the Chiefs going for fourth down and not getting it in Baltimore in a big spot. So results are always going to rule the day with the way that a lot of people react. But I just think that's Detroit's mentality is what got them there. And they really just needed one of those hits to kind of come through, and it might've been a different game. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything big that I'm leaving out. Maybe the running on fourth down late in the game, or not in fourth down, running and having to call a timeout at the end was that was bad. I can't defend that one. But overall, I thought that I didn't have as many negative things to say about Detroit's decision making there with the fourth down ones from Dan Campbell.
Yeah, that was the one that stood out to me. It was like just the running it on fourth late and calling the timeout. That was the, I was curious about that one, but I think what you said at the start is the biggest thing. It's like just getting to this point is such a challenge. And I think for two teams like this, again, given the setup for the Ravens, having it at home and the Lions after the season they had, and then to be up by as many as they were up, it's just like, those are just two sequences or whatever that, you know, just, they don't happen often, like just being able to put yourself in that position. And so the missed opportunity aspect of it, I think, is what makes it worse. Cause it's like, okay, you go in there and let's say you lose by a field goal, you trail the whole game. It's interesting and all that. But like for the Lions, it's you build such a big lead. And then for the Ravens, it's just one of those where it's like we had said going into it, it's like, this doesn't feel like the same Chiefs team, does it? Like, you're just not sure if they have that, but right. It's different, but now here they are, they're back in the same spot. And so, yeah, like that just, to me, I mean, it makes for an, you know, interesting Super Bowl now as we look ahead early to this matchup. Like I said, we'll break this thing down next week. But, I mean, yeah, it's the two teams again. I wasn't going out on a limb in the preseason picking these two to get there because it seemed like these were the two teams that felt like they were in the best position in their respective conference to make it to the Super Bowl. And now, again, we don't always get that game, but this year I think you just look at the way this thing fell, and the Chiefs had a lot of adversity at times this season, and again, maybe didn't feel like they had that next sort of gear that we've seen them have in recent seasons, but they still find their way there. The Niners, obviously a team that, you know, we saw some of the good, we saw some of the bad, but here they are too, rallying from a big deficit in the championship game to get there. And so, I mean, you know, if you're just looking at it from an overall strength on strength standpoint, like these are the two teams that a lot of people thought would be here, and here they are.
Yeah, the preseason, a lot of times the preseason prognostications end up kind of, over the course of the season, you're going to be more accurate. In this case, the games themselves may have fooled us of who the best teams were. Maybe not in the NFC. Always, you know, the Niners were always going to be the favorite. But, I mean, two playoff games that they easily could have lost either of them. So, for him, they don't look invincible like they did at certain points in the regular season. And, yeah, like you mentioned, this such a different Chiefs team. I keep coming back to, though, we always would say if you give Patrick Mahomes or any of these great quarterbacks a great defense, it can be really scary. And sure enough, it came through in the clutch. I mean, I know I was talking mostly about the Chiefs defense and some of the Ravens things they didn't do, but I mean, there still were obviously so many clutch plays in the first half, in particular from Mahomes and Kelce, where you saw these guys coming through. Rice has been, you know, over the course of the season has been so crucial in the receiving corps to have someone that Mahomes trusts and can consistently get open. And he's just been fantastic. But yeah, very different teams than the last time they met 4 years ago. Obviously, the league changes quickly. There's a lot of familiar names on both sides, but there are, I mean, the identities of these teams, very different. I wouldn't say the pass rush of this Niner team is up there with the one we saw in Super Bowl 54. Chase Young had some decent moments, but overall, I don't think on the opposite side of Bosa, they've been able to replicate what they've had in the past. So that's going to be an interesting thing. With the Chiefs offensive line that held up great against the Ravens, you know, the second half, again, I think there's some things that they'll want back. For Kansas City, the missed opportunities, they'll say that they could have had chances to score there. But it's definitely a Chiefs team that still maybe is vulnerable. But at the same time, this defense is going to pose a big challenge to what San Francisco wants to do. The secondary in particular, I mean, as good as the defensive line in the pass rush at times have been, I know they're going to be missing some guys, but their secondary, how sticky they are in coverage against these Niner receivers is going to be a really fun matchup to watch. We'll dive way more into it, but the early storylines, obviously, we have a Super Bowl rematch between coaches, which is kind of rare. We've had, you know, teams have happened, but often there'll be like a different coach. There's only been four different times that we've had. This is the fourth time that two coaches have had a rematch in the Super Bowl. And the coach that won the first matchup has won the second all three times. So it's Belichick and Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin winning both times. Jimmy Johnson beating Mark Levy and the Bills twice. And then Chuck Knoll beating Tom Landry twice. And now we have Reed and Shanahan, two of the offensive minds that have, like, you know, kind of defined this era in some ways. Obviously, a lot of different guys, younger guys that have made their mark. But the trees and it runs down deep for both of these. And then also, I mean, it's I forget who made this point, but interesting to see like it's kind of like a test case of like when you pay the top quarterback and have to build a roster around him and having a rookie contract, the ultimate rookie contract, the last pick of the draft, and being able to build a super team around him and how those like different dynamics kind of clash here in this matchup. So it's going to, we'll dive more into it. But those are, as much as some people are like, oh, it's the same matchup, we don't want to see that again. I'm like, it's so different. And also like, these teams are still so fun, even if, maybe for the fan base of Detroit, obviously you're feeling for them more than anyone maybe and their players. But in terms of just like a pure football matchup, as excited as I was last year for Eagles Chiefs, I'm just as excited this year for this matchup.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Like we said, I think he's just given, like you mentioned, it's different. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same game as it was several years ago. And so it's just a little bit different now. And I'm very curious to see how this thing plays out. And again, we'll talk more about it next week in terms of like all the different matchups and everything that could decide Super Bowl 58. But we're going to jump in, Dylan, to looking ahead to next year. And one of the reasons why is, again, we talk about quarterbacks, right? We talk about Patrick Mahomes leading the Chiefs to Super Bowl again. We talk about Brock Purdy coming through, being able to get the Niners now to a Super Bowl with him under center. And so we know one of the biggest talking points of the offseason will be the quarterback situation for every team in the NFL. And some teams, we know exactly who's going to be there. Other teams, not so much. And there are quite a few teams now when you kind of look at the situation, not only with coaching changes and all that, but you start to wonder, okay, who's going to be the quarterback for this team? And there are certain guys that we don't expect probably to be under center for maybe the team they were under center for this past season. And so we're going to kind of maybe make some predictions, look ahead at some possible storylines for quarterbacks in new spots or teams that are going to have new quarterbacks at the helm. So you've got an interesting group of teams here, Dylan. I'll let you go wherever you want to go with this, but I'm going to read through some of these teams. And again, you're going to see why this is, there's a few on here. It's not just a couple. Like we're talking quite a few teams on this list. So the Falcons obviously have a new head coach. Desmond Ridder, we talked about it, just never felt like it's come together just yet. The Patriots, we don't know the situation because, again, they have a new coach now. We know Mac Jones has been there with Gerard Mayo, but we just don't know how they're going to proceed there. Broncos with Russell Wilson, who knows? Bears, can kind of be the lead because the Bears obviously are in a situation where they can have another quarterback if they want to, but they also have Justin Fields, as we know. The Raiders situation up in the air. The Vikings situation will be up in the air if Kirk Cousins leaves. Commanders. I mean, there's so many ways you can go with this, Dylan, when you look at possibility of, 10 teams, maybe? They won't all 10 have a new quarterback, but, hey, there's a lot of shuffling going on with quite a few teams.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. One of the relationships I'm proudest of is with my older brother. He taught me how to put others before myself, which has not only strengthened our own relationship, but relationships throughout my life. A common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But that's not true at all. The best relationships are the ones where both parties put in the work to make it great. Oftentimes, we have a hard time navigating tough moments, and that's perfectly fine. The good news is that we have access to therapy as a safe space to work through the challenges we face in all of our relationships. Relationships can be compared to football in many ways. Both involve teamwork, communication, strategy, and goals. Just like a football team needs to practice and train together, working on relationship skills and habits can make all the difference. Sometimes a coach or a therapist can help them improve their performance and overcome challenges. It can also provide feedback, encouragement, and guidance. Therapy is not a sign of weakness or failure, but a way of enhancing and strengthening the bond between partners, friends, or family members. If you're thinking of starting therapy today, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and very accessible. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/thepass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thepass.
And similar to the coaching stuff, where it felt like one domino could falling a certain way could like completely impact the other ones, it does feel like that to a certain extent.
The amount of teams that need a quarterback or could be at least in the line to maybe they have a younger guy that they still believe in, but they're not really totally satisfied with that person long term. So that's where you get some interesting teams that could trade up to in the draft. I think ultimately, yeah, the Bears, it seems like things are moving in the direction of them drafting Caleb or a QB and then trading Fields, or, you know, I know there's been floated they could keep him, but I know the Falcons have been mentioned as a possible spot for him. One interesting guy for the Falcons, I think it was an ESPN piece where they're interviewing different executives from across the league, and they noted that they wouldn't be surprised if Kirk Cousins ended up there. There's not really a connection with Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator, outside of the fact that he coached under McVay, who obviously has a great relationship with Cousins from their time in Washington together, and maybe some systems that, yeah, I think, you know, if the Niners had lost maybe their game, maybe we would have been talking about them as the ideal fit for Kirk Cousins, given their relationship with Shanahan. But now I think Purdy is pretty much hopefully silence some of the doubters. There's still going to be people talking about him. But I think that Kirk is going to, for me, he's the guy that sets the tone out of this group. The Bears decision and where Kirk ends up, I think Minnesota obviously still makes the most sense. But you don't often, I mean, he's put up the way he was playing before his injury and just as he's evolved as a quarterback. Outside of this injury, he's also been, you know, really durable and a tough guy. So, you know, maybe the Falcons do make more sense if he's going to leave the Vikings. And that is for me, again, I think that kind of starts the trickle down, because after that decision's made, after the Bears' decisions are made as well, what are these different teams going to do? Trying to find different landing spots for, you know, Baker is easy. I think Tampa Bay is probably going to be where he'll end up staying. I have a hard time seeing that falling through, even with Dave Canales leaving. We'll find out, though. But the Russell Wilson one is maybe the bigger question mark for me. In that same ESPN piece, a different executive predicted the Raiders for him, which I was like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. This would be, you know, staying in the conference or staying in the division. I could see Russell wanting to do that, I guess, from the Raiders' point of view. What kind of deal are you looking at? Obviously, the Broncos are going to have to take on a ton of dead money with that one. I'm not sure exactly how those dynamics play out. If the Raiders want to draft the QB, obviously they still have Aiden O'Connell, but you look at where they're at in the draft, I think just on the outside of some of those top picks, they could trade up depending on if a certain guy falls that they're interested in. I know that there was before Ian Harbaugh ended up going to the Chargers, when we were talking about him with the Raiders, there was that kind of like, oh, well, he just draft McCarthy kind of thing. So there's interesting teams there. But yeah, for Russell, outside of the, like, let's say the Raiders are going to go on the younger side, still see what Aiden's doing. He's the one where I'm having a tough time. I think I've seen someone float the Steelers, and I was like, what are we doing here? But the Steelers, after some of the comments that Rooney had yesterday about Kenny Pickett, it kind of made it clear that they're, even though they're going to stick with them for now, that I don't think they're necessarily committed long term. So they're a kind of an interesting one to look at. Outside of the Falcons, I was trying to think of like where Fields where it would make sense for him to possibly go. I don't know if with some of the offensive line troubles they've had. I know the Giants I had on here is a team that kind of being in the mix for looking for a QB. I don't know if that makes as much sense. It gets kind of, as much as there's a lot of these different teams that are possibly going to change, it's just right now it's hard for me to think about where these guys could end up. Mate, Denver. I'm just, at this point I'm throwing things out, but I'm like, if the Bears really do go the direction it seems they're on their way to, Fields, I don't know, as much as I really enjoyed him, and I think a better offensive line in a system. And I think from his, you know, with the talent that they have in that offensive line and the running game they have, it's hard for me to find a better fit than Atlanta. It's just a matter of if Atlanta is going to go a different direction and who they're able to get possibly. I think they're with, Raheem Morris spring. I'm so excited for him to get that opportunity with the Falcons and his, the whole dynamic with that culture that he's going to build there. I think it's going to be an infectious thing where there are going to be players that want to potentially go there with the group that they've put together. There's a reason their front office hasn't had the same shuffling as the coaching staff, because they feel pretty good about the roster they have. So in terms of plugging a guy, if I, you know, I think if I'm Kirk, there's only one team I possibly leave the Vikings for out of this group, and it probably would be the Falcons, but I don't know if he's going to want to uproot his family. All those kind of factors beyond just the thing about the football side of things, there's a lot of different factors for these players, especially guys as established as Kirk has become in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I, you know, he talks about it is wild to think, but like he is as established in Minnesota as like many quarterbacks are throughout their entire career. Like they just, you know, it's like I said, guys just bounce around sometimes and there's not a lot of guys who just play, you know, in one place and all that, which obviously Cousins bounced around, winds up in Minnesota. But now it just feels like it's hard to see him anywhere with the Vikings. Like it's just one of those where he's kind of identified now with that franchise. And, but again, there is some intrigue if the Falcons went that direction, because obviously we've talked about kind of the weapons that the Falcons have. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how he would, we'd mix into that offense and all that. But, I mean, I think, look, at, from this group of teams, to me, it's, once again, I feel like, you know, the AFC South's always been our brand, but I feel like the NFC North has just become its own little kind of subset of intrigue.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the Bears on the other side, like we mentioned, it's just what the Bears decide to do. A lot of this, I mean, you know, we can certainly look at draft options, rumors, and expectations, and all this other stuff, but it's just, you know, that's a huge decision that ultimately impacts a lot of other teams too, just based on, you know, what they decide to do there. So, I think there's a lot of, as you mentioned, going through that list, there's a lot of wild possibilities in all these different places. But to me, it still comes down to what does Kirk Cousins do? What do the Bears do? And if like that leads, you know, kind of the entire conversation here with the NFC North kind of starting things. So.
Yeah, the North, like for all the talk, it's funny that the stability suddenly in our other division, as you mentioned, the AFC South, where I don't feel like there's going to be any turnover with the four, with Anthony Richardson getting healthy, and I think with the Titans seeing what Will Levis can do. I feel like all four of those teams are suddenly set at this position for the, at least for the interim time. Whereas, yeah, like you said, the North, we got two teams that seem, I don't think the Lions are going anywhere away from Jared Goff, and obviously Jordan Love, what he proved over the second half of the season, how the Packers seem to have hit once again, and all that they can't keep getting away from this comments from Bears fans. But yeah, now we have two teams at least here that a few more question marks. And yeah, like you said, with the Bears decision, yeah, a lot of teams would love if the Bears were willing to trade back. I'm sure, you know, the number of suitors trying to get to move up to that number one spot might be a little higher than even last year with the Panthers ultimately being the one that traded up for that number one pick to get Bryce Young. I think with the lure of Caleb or even teams that are enamored with Drake May, I think it might still kind of depend on what team we're talking about here. It's definitely going to be robust. I mean, the Bears really do have, and I know they're evaluating everything, and this is a legacy decision, as we've talked about. Like, this is the kind of thing that, you know, it's one thing when not every team was as, you know, the Bears aren't the only team that passed up on drafting Patrick Mahomes. They might be the only team that traded up and then drafted another QB to pass on him. But at least in that circumstance, there was this is a guy that dropped to number 10. With Caleb here, this is a, like, even when he's in the middle of his second season or first season starting at USC, second season in college starting, like people are like, this is number one pick. This guy's the best prospects and so-and-so. And we saw obviously the struggles and some of the things that happened last year have kind of brought that down, but it's still in a place where if the Bears, I think this is kind of why they'll end up going with Caleb, is just if you trade back and then you miss on a historic kind of player, a player that ends up being one of the best QBs potentially. It's that that realm, that thing that could happen is you don't want to be known as a guy that passed on that kind of player. Right. Whereas if they do trade Justin and he becomes better than he's been in Chicago, puts up better numbers and maybe wins and does some big things, at least the consensus kind of thought will be that they made the right choice. But sometimes those decisions, I mean, some people are not going to be scared to make what is maybe conventionally thought of And maybe they're not going to take the easy way, but it really depends on what the Bears want to do. I think they'll end up keeping the pick, like I mentioned, drafting Caleb for a number of different reasons, not just that, but it's kind of I don't know if I was in that spot, the idea of trading and missing on that guy and that kind of being your legacy would be, at least for me, a little tough to deal with. But you'd have to really be sold on not just Fields. I mean, that's the most important part. You'd have to really feel confident that the progressions he did make and some of the things with overall the, not always playing in structure. I think as a passer, we've seen him with some great deep accuracy really at times, but maybe some of the intermediate things and just taking some of the easier plays and the checkdowns, still trying to get him to kind of not always make the big play. If you're convinced that he's though the guy and you feel good about the progression, I think it comes down to that package, right? Like, if you're going to get like 3-4 major picks or like another young player in addition to picks, kind of like when they got DJ Moore, and you feel like, oh, now we can fill in another player along our offensive line, we can draft another guy for our defensive line, another receiver, whatever it is. I mean, I wouldn't blame them for going that route either. It's a good place to be, but it's pressure. I feel like this is, as soon as the Super Bowl ends, right now they're still probably in a good kind of time on the schedule where outside of Chicago, it's not a huge talking point at this very moment, like it was maybe at the end of the regular season, but it's going to come back quickly. And we're going to be getting a lot of rumors and a lot of things and maybe seeing where they're leaning. But it does kind of set the tone for everything else that's going to happen here.
Yeah, it does for sure. And like I said, it will be exciting, I think, to see how this plays out, because obviously it will have a huge impact on next season, seeing what happens with a lot of these teams and specifically starting with the draft with the Bears. But we'll get more into that once we get to the offseason. But as we said, we got a Super Bowl to talk about, and Dylan will do that on the next episode. But for now, lots of stuff. Again, takeaways from these past two games. And then looking ahead to the Super Bowl over at Clutch Points. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section. Like Blake mentioned, tons of stuff leading up to the Super Bowl here. We'll have a lot more next week as the teams get to Vegas, and we'll have all the media availability. Already a lot of good quotes coming out, a lot of good different things. With tons of breakdowns of the matchups, where the Ravens and Lions go from here, guys that need to resign, guys they might want to target, different trade possibilities, all sorts of angles for the Lions and Ravens and the rest of the league. A lot of draft stuff already going up. Some early kind of players to watch for different teams. You can find all that in the NFL section of the website and in the NFL section of the Clutch Points app.
Yep, check it all out at Clutch Points. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Grab Some Pass. And thanks as always for listening to the podcast. Until next time, you're on Grab Some Pass.